Okay, so we're at Titus number 3. Boy, Titus was a short letter because this is just about to the end of it. But we were talking about Titus being given the job of speaking and exhorting and rebuking with all authority to the Cretes. So Paul is sending Titus into a very difficult situation where he must not be fearful or hesitant. He's got to speak with all authority, because if he's fearful, they'll eat him up. And he does have full authority from Paul as well as from Jesus Christ. So let's go to Titus chapter 2, verse 15, to just remember again what Paul told him. He said, "These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." So do you think that Crete might be an example for much of the disorder that's in the church today?
Yeah.
You know, it's Johnny's been talking to somebody through private messaging on Facebook, and he's been challenging him in every way. So I stepped my 2 feet in there and tried to take him into rightly dividing. He's gotten to where he says that he gets everything directly from the Lord now, and he hears new things. He doesn't need the Bible, and he has more stuff than what's in the Bible, you know. So I just wanted to say enough for Johnny. I didn't really, him too, if he would listen, but he's not willing to listen. You know, it's, there's in fact, any non-believer that listens to the divisions in all the people that call themselves Christians will just have the reaction of, well, why should I listen to any of them? They're all so split. Just like Crete is an example. Let's go back to Titus chapter 1, verse 16, where he talks about they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. And that's part of the conversation I had with this man, is that if you'll remember, Jim Jones and David Koresh, I believe it was, those people got direct communication from God in their own minds. And so I just reminded him that if you don't let yourself be grounded by the Bible, we've got our sinful imaginations, and Satan's ready to appear as an angel of light, if that's what we want, to just to lead us astray in any direction. So I always was amazed the first time I heard a man, a preacher say, "Lisa, I have a word for you, a fresh word from God." And you know, when I heard that, well, I knew two things. One, he didn't. And the other is he had too much pride. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. But I should say another thing about that is that all of this is to keep us from having an authority over us. As long as we can, the moment we leave the Bible, that's why so many people want to reject the Bible, is then we're our own authority, and we don't have, nobody can say, well, wait a minute, but God says. And say, oh no, I got the fresh word from God, I don't have to pay attention to that. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." So, today we're operating under faith and not under sight, right? So, today the power of the seduction is probably not so much supernatural as much as Satan uses the natural things of the world to seduce us. But can you imagine when the time comes, and is going to come, when a man arrives that can truly heal people, that can truly bring peace to the earth? Because that man is going to come.
Yeah.
Now, our blessing is we're not going to have to meet him. We're going to get out of here before he comes. But it's coming. So just think about the effect that that'll have on a lame man that is made to walk again, or these kind of things, you know. So let's go on, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. These things command and teach, Paul is telling Timothy now. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. And one of the things we see, just a side note on this one, is Paul is still thinking he's going to get out of jail. Because he's telling, till he comes, give attention to these things. So when we went to visit a friend a while back, he said to us that he had heard from his church, preach the gospel, use words if necessary. Right?
Yeah.
And what does that mean? Is that your example will cause people to come to Jesus Christ. What's wrong with that?
How can you be an example when you don't even know what God wants?
Well, that's true. But even if you do, what does behaving well, how does that bring another man to Jesus Christ?
That's not the gospel.
That's not the gospel. That's right. Our job today is to preach the gospel using God's word, but don't let our actions discredit our ministry. That's basically what Paul tells us. So let's go back to Titus chapter 3. Verse 1. So again, remember in Crete it was total disorder. And so Paul says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. So today, we see protests and civil disobedience seem to be growing in popularity. There's been times before it's been popular. It's popular today. And they are lawful in this country. Even some violence seems to be tolerated. It may be lawful, but is it expedient for a minister of reconciliation?
Nope.
I'm not talking about judging other people. I'm just talking about us, you know, to talk about us. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 23. So Paul tells the Corinthians, or tells us through them, he says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. So, I mean, basically what he's saying, we already know we're not under the law. Therefore, anything we do is lawful in God's eyes. It might not be lawful in this country, but it's lawful in God's eyes. But as grown-ups in Christ, we need to know what's expedient or not, or what is edifying to other people or not. That ought to be what we're interested in. So all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 18, where Paul tells us, he says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So first of all, he's reconciled us. And second, he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. So we're no longer enemies of God, but we're his children. And we have a ministry. And it's called a ministry of reconciliation, which is a reconciliation is bringing somebody back that's been gone, you know, reconciling something that was broken. So to wit, that God was in Christ, that's when he was on the cross, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. I guess what makes this really important to me is that I, for so long, knew I was going to hell. I didn't have reconciliation. All I had to look forward to is when I died, I was going to hell. I knew it. And that makes it hard for me to forget where I've come from to where I am today. I think sometimes a lot of people that are raised in the church have been told they're going to heaven because they're doing the church things. And so they've never thought, so when and if they ever actually receive the word that they believe to salvation, they do it, but it almost like, okay, now I'm double saved, you know, because I already thought I was saved anyway. So that's why it impresses me to say that he was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. I knew that God could never forgive all the things that I had done. And there's a world full of people that know that God would never forgive all the things that he had done. But he's telling us that he will. That's why he died on the cross. And has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Because the only way they'll be reconciled to the Lord is if you can say to them, no, he's already provided for you. You can be saved. Let me explain how. And that's not only a marvelous thing for us, but it's a marvelous privilege to be able to explain that to other people. Some of them, of course, will believe it and be saved. And some of them, of course, will reject it. But man, it's such great news to keep hidden. And so in verse 20, he says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. He's already done the work. For he, God, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Of course, he never sinned. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So what a glorious message, you know. And I guess an example would be that we know this, and we're all excited about it, and we have an abortion clinic across the street. We can do two things. We can say, well, we hate that, and we do. We hate that babies are being killed and that kind of thing. But shall we go in and get in a fleshly battle with them across the street? Or shall we preach the word to as many people as we can, including anybody we might run into there? We've got a primary job. We're ambassadors for Christ. So that's what I'm talking about. Getting down into fleshly fights down here is not our part. What a glorious message this is. What great news. Is it about how the world is going to get better so that we can look forward to a better life here? Is that what this message is about? No, the whole message, not only what we just read, but the whole message is about he does not see our sins any longer. And that he's going to rescue us from this world because it's going to get worse. How should we handle it? Let's go to Romans chapter 13. Verses 1 to 7. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. You know, if you remember in the Old Testament, King Nebuchadnezzar, he was as big and bad a leader as they could ever be. He killed people as well as look at them. It made no difference to him. But he was ordained by God to be in that position at that time. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now I don't believe that's damnation with God, but damnation by the ruler. If you resist him, you're going to be hurt by him. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience's sake. So he's saying, don't obey the ruler, or don't follow the law just because you're afraid of what will happen to you if you don't, although that's one reason, but also for conscience' sake. That's not your job. That's not the job of a minister of reconciliation. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. That is hard sometimes for us to understand, especially when we've got rulers that we don't respect or we hate or we think they're all wrong, you know. And these days, half the country believes that our ruler is all wrong, no matter who he is. So why do we do this? Because it leaves us free from conflict and controversy to preach the gospel, which is what we're supposed to be doing. You know? So let's go to verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. So don't owe so that you can do it freely. Love freely, give freely, preach freely, not do it out of obligation. This country gives us the right to protest peacefully. Even not so peacefully sometimes. Anywhere. On the streets, in the government buildings, almost anywhere they give us the right to, even on government property. But this country is not so excited about you preaching peacefully, especially if it's on government property. Right? But what does God think we ought to be doing? Let's go back to Titus chapter 3. Verses 2 and 3. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. So that's what we forget. Yeah. Is where we were, where we came from, even where we still are in some cases. You know, we were the same people that we now judge and protest against. What does the Lord think about us judging other people? That's a principle. Anywhere you find it in the Bible, it's a principle. But let's go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 3. And the Lord says to the Jews, he says, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Can you picture this? You're going a big beam in your eye and you're trying to pick the mote out of your brother's eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thy own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. So, political parties like to claim the high road and look down on the other. We're the good guys. We're the humane guys. We're the righteous guys. They're the bad guys. But who is the humane party? Who is the righteous party? Let him who is without sin cast the first criticism. Right? Let's go to Romans chapter 12. verse 17. Where Paul tells us, he says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil." I wish I'd been taught that when I was young, yeah. You know? Because that, you know, I mean, you see sometimes on the movies or TV, somebody says, "What are you looking at?"
Yeah.
You know, just looking to recompense evil for evil, you know? And that's how I was, reactive all of my life. You know, if you give me trouble, I'm going to give you more, you know, and that's all there is. So that goes against what the Lord says, right? Let's see, where am I? 12:17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And of course, that's got a lot of things it says there. One is that sometimes it may not be possible. Because he says, if it be possible, as lieth in you, as you can, live peaceably with all men. You know which are the ones that are the hardest to live peaceably with these days? That's a good answer, honey.
Proud.
Yeah, legalistic Christians, especially legalistic Christians, because they're going to fight you every step of the way, and they're going to get mad at you because you're telling them that they're not earning what they think they're earning. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Did you ever think when somebody was mistreating you or hurting you that you might feel sorry for them because they're really going to get it? Not from you. "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." You know, if we really believe these things, that'll take away the sting.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to get it. They're messing with God's children. "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head." Did you ever think of that, taking that person that was being nasty to you and saying, "Can I share my food with you? Can I get you something to drink?" And they insult you some more and you just be kind to them. And that's what we got here. I mean, that's really what the Lord is telling us. If we truly believe that this is in the Lord's hands, it will be easier for us to react that way in that situation. Otherwise, we're overcome by evil. If we react against them, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So back to Titus chapter 3.
That's being a living sacrifice.
That sure is. That is. And yet, in the end, it's all taken care of. You're giving up getting your own vengeance in the sense, but there's going to be vengeance. You're just not involved in that. So Titus chapter 3, verse 4. "But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost." He saved us, right? "Which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." So, it's not because of what we've done or what we deserve, but according to His mercy. And the more we remember that, the more we see that that mercy is being offered to everybody, but mainly that the only reason we're in is because of His mercy. We are the guilty. We are the unworthy who have received grace and mercy from our Lord. Therefore, we are in no position to cast the first stone. Even if our behavior is better than the one we're judging. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 7, one of my favorite, very favorite verses. Maybe it's because I have to remind myself of this all the time. So, "For who maketh thee to differ from another?" Because if you're judging another, you're thinking he's different than you.
Yeah.
Who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Well, I've had people say, well, wait a minute. Yeah, God may have given me my mind and my body, but I earned that car right there. Or I am earning it. I'm making the payments on it, you know. So, but he gave us everything. Now, if thou didst receive it, if it was through God's mercy that you received it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? So that's the idea, is the Lord blesses us, we grow. We grow our children, our family. We have all sorts of blessings around us, and we start to think we're better than those who don't have them. But we didn't earn it. That was a pure blessing that we received it. So if we are better in our behavior or in our knowledge than anybody else, what makes us better? Who makes us better? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 9. Where the Apostle Paul tells us, or the Lord tells us through him, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. That's what Titus was sent in to do in Crete. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. And when we are that, we know that the Holy Spirit has definitely done a work in us, you know. Amen. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Without that last verse, I'd start being pretty scared about being blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he'll do it. He's faithful as he that calleth, he will also do it. So what a blessing and privilege we have. And all we have to do is follow Christ and yield to his word and the leading of the Holy Spirit, and he'll take care of the rest. But the reason I did a short lesson today is that brings me to some difficult news that I have to share with you. We are retiring from this ministry in a few months. I'm personally going through some changes where I need some rest and renewal from the Lord myself. So, and that's the main thing. On top of that, we will be moving to Little Rock in hopes of living near to our children and grandchildren. But that's secondary. And Frank, I've talked to him, is willing to step in if you will have him. But he wants to know if you'll have him. You know, he's always been shy about coming in on Sunday because he kind of always felt, well, those people like you. You know, but what I've seen about Frank that's really neat is that he has grown so much, not just as a person, I already knew that, but much more so as a teacher. I've seen him grow to where it amazes me to attend his classes. I think it's been a shame that everybody hasn't been able to attend his classes, and I'm sure that he won't be able to do Wednesdays and Thursdays and Sundays. It's probably going to be Sundays. And I'm sure it won't be every single Sunday in a month, because he's got one Sunday he's got to go visit his grandmother as long as she still lives. So he'll need we'll need others to step up, you know, and take care of that. But that was my announcement. Any questions?
Please.